We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 924, the old end of the year podcast. We'll get to that in a second. This episode brought to you by Squarespace. Hey, you have big plans for the new year? Do you want to make it easier? Turn your idea into a unique website? Well, you can do that. Showcase your work, your blog. Any kind of content that you have, sell products, services, whatever you want in just a few clicks. Customize everything from look and feel, beautiful templates by world-class designers using Squarespace. And there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code Nerdist to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Well, it's the old end of the year podcast, Nerdist Podcast 2017. Ended off with a hostful podcast. My wife is stifling laughter over here because we're watching Naked and Afraid for like the past 2 days. I'm sorry, Liz. What did you say that the podcast outro should be from now on? Stop. No. What did you say it should be? I think you should tell everyone this snazzy idea of yours to end the podcast. Instead of saying enjoy your burrito, what should we say from now on?
Munch those tacos.
Great idea. What a fantastic idea. Does it have any philosophical meaning that people need to understand?
Just remember.
To what?
Please edit this out.
No, honey. We're gonna munch those tacos and leave it in. This is taco munching. It's just leaving shit in the way it happens. All right. So this is from the Nerdist Community Corkboard. John D. Harrison writes, my book, Mastering the Game, What Video Games Can Teach Us About Success in Life, takes a look at how the same habits and principles that lead to success in video games can be applied to personal and business success. It's like Ready Player One, but can help you get promoted. This book is packed with video game analogies. It references over 150 games and important personal development lessons. It also led to a TEDx talk, How Video Games Empower Real-World Success, available in paperback and on Kindle through Amazon.com. Also, Andrew writes, a few years ago, I rescued my newest pack member, Ranger, who destroyed toys very quickly. I had tried other subscription dog boxes, but their toys were always trashed within minutes. Frustrated with this, I was able to save up some money and start Chomp Box, a monthly subscription box service made for super chewer dogs. Every month, you're going to bag of healthy and yummy dog treats and durable toy made for tough pups. For more info or to sign up for a subscription, visit ChompBoxMonthly.com.
That is kind of like
All right, thank you. All right, that's enough. Yeah, no, that was a complete coincidence. Those things are not related. All right. Just keep playing Skyrim. Then he's playing Skyrim. She's a werewolf. She's like at level 30 now. Andrew, I hope you understand the coincidental juxtaposition of Munch Those Tacos and Chomp Box. Yeah. Well, he's not saying chomp that box. He's saying it's just Chomp Box.
Right. Sorry.
It's for tough pups who really want to chomp that box. They can chomp the box once a month. Andrew, you should be writing this down. This type of ad copy is Sterling Cooper Draper price worthy. All right, so this is the hostful 2017. People say it would never happen anymore, but it did. And, you know, really, it's a lot of it's pinning Matt Myra down these days. Matt might be the busiest one of us three. And so, but as I always say, every time we get together with, I get together with these guys, we always talk about how we want to do this more and more. And so we will try. I know Matt's got, After Trek in the new year for a couple months, but I'm around, Jonah's around, and we'll get this shit going again. I promise. But what an incredible year. What a heartbreaking year in some senses. What an insane year for us work-wise, Matt and Jonah in particular, and a lot of ups and downs. We call this episode Peaks and Valleys. You'll understand why when you listen to the episode, but it just makes me realize I need to hang out with these guys more. And even though it seems like the world is a dismal place, there are still bright rays of sunshine beaming in through the shit clouds here and there. And so hopefully you remember that now. And maybe just take a minute and write down all the things that you accomplished this year. Write down the things you're thankful for. Write down, you know, anything positive that you're feeling about this year, even if you don't think there's anything positive, just pretend that maybe there's a positive thing. And then, you know, on another list, write down what do you want to accomplish and build on that stuff for next year and what you want to see and manifest. So, you know, it just helps when you write that stuff down. You see it in the material world that just gives you a little bit of purpose and direction. So in any case, I hope you had a wonderful year. I want to thank you again for supporting another year of the podcast going into year 8, which is very hard to believe that we're approaching a decade. And this is it. And I also want to tell you that this episode was brought to you by Casper. Casper Mattresses, it's a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize the products that they create for exceptionally comfortable sleep experiences one night at a time. So they have three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, the Essential. Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And it's delivered right to your door in a small little package. You're going to go, how is this possible? But it is possible. And it's free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. That's free, too. But the best part is you get 100 nights risk-free to sleep on it. And if you don't like it, you send it back. That is it. Got one of these from my mom, and she loves it. You know, moms can be very picky, and my mom loves the Casper mattress. So start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Nerdist. Use Nerdist at checkout. That's casper.com/Nerdist. Terms and conditions apply. And now here's the Nerdist podcast, episode number 920. Hostful Peaks and Valleys. Munch those tacos. Why are you silently?
Because I don't want to interrupt you. Taco munch.
Thank you. That's what an understanding wife you are.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Not making the playoff 5-7.
Crazy Hostful Podcast.
Nice.
Jonah's here sipping a coffee. Matt smells like clove cigarettes.
That can't be.
They're talking about spurts. I had
this on. Are you not telling people that you smoke?
No, it's really common knowledge.
They're talking about sports. They were talking about sports.
Oh. Chris, you can hide it on a podcast.
No, I don't know if it's the kind of thing you like sneak out to do it.
No. My wife, much to my wife's chagrin.
Yeah. When are you going to stop doing that?
Pretty soon.
I hope so.
I always say.
There's a, you know, that movie Lady Bird. There's a joke in there about clothes, and I thought of you.
Yeah, you said that was your favorite movie of the year so far.
It might be. It's on the top. It's going to be in the top 10 of my favorite movies of the year. Maybe about top 5, but Lady Bird is great.
Well, Star Wars hasn't come out yet, bro.
That's true. Yeah, someone gave me, we did a Mystery Science Theater soundtrack signing at Amoeba, and someone gave me like a Porg.
Porg that's
thing.
So funny.
And I go, it's like, how are we to know if this could easily be the next Jar Jar? Everyone's buying all this Porg stuff. Like, no one's buying Jar Jar stuff before the movie.
It is a little premature Porging, right?
You know what, though? You got to say, so, I mean, if the Porgs don't really have any effect, that's the problem.
They're still cute.
If they're hated, then it's still kind of good, because then the hipsters get to then they get to be like a hipster hero. Like, isn't this funny? Everyone hates this character.
But no one did that for Jar Jar.
No, but that was before social media.
That's true.
So I think if Jar Jar came out now, and we're, first of all, there'd be a cancel Jar Jar hashtag.
Yeah.
How do you cancel something in a movie?
You know, people don't really think when they create these
sure.
Hashtag Gungan appropriation.
Yeah, they just think, I am a consumer and I have power to
Guys,
not have that thing exist anymore.
The hashtag would be Misa 2.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Let's not.
No is correct.
I did when the tax bill got passed, I said, are WISA people going to get audited?
Jesus Christ. I'm excited that we're doing a Hostful. It has not been possible really since the festival in June.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because. Yeah. You were super crazy busy.
Yes.
And then Matt, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago where Matt was like, Chris, I don't know what to do. I don't know how it is. I'm not working.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everything for him at once.
Yeah.
Started writing on the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Like, had to continue doing 5 podcasts that he started doing while he was unemployed.
When you had time. Yeah,
yeah. That was the move. During hiatus last year, I was like, let me fire up James Bonding again, so at least I'll have
trying to fertilize some eggs along the way.
Doing IVF. Dude, Sidekicks still. We got 2 more episodes of Sidekick on Alpha before
Jesus.
The whole thing folds. Who knows what's happening over there?
Is that a digital platform?
It sure is.
Not doing
is. Well, you know, CISO, I says to them, I
yes.
says.
Yes.
I don't know how we were. I guess we were able to pin you down because people say, "When are you going to do a Hostful?" And I go, "Matt's busier than I am at the moment.
Rare treat. More
time in the. It was you were kind of doing the old up in the air business.
Yeah, you're in New York all the time.
I was in New York every weekend for 9 weeks in a row.
So just walk people through what your week looked like, like what a typical.
What day would you like to start the week, Chris?
Let's say the week starts on Monday.
Okay,
oh,
so
can't we just try for a Wednesday?
You know what?
Yeah, I don't know. It might be less confusing.
I don't appreciate it.
Okay,
that.
So
appreciate
Monday that. Mornings, the car would pick me up in New York at 4:15 a.m.
Sure.
I would go to JFK. I would fly out on the 5:50 a.m. flight to LAX. Mm-hmm. I would land. I would drive to the Goldbergs at the Sony lot. I would do the Goldbergs until about 6 or 6:30 in that span, and then I would leave and drive to Burbank. I would tape Sidekick at 9:15 p.m. We would go until probably about 10:30 or so. I'd usually talk to the producers for a little bit and then head home. I'd probably get home at 11:30. I would then, on Tuesdays, I would go back to the Goldbergs. Tuesday night is when I would have to watch Star Trek Discovery. I'd watch the next episode of Star Trek Discovery. I would also watch probably a James Bond movie for James Bonding.
Sure.
Wednesday morning, 7:30 a.m., I'd have my...
Quickly say hi to the wife.
I'd say hello.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hi, honey.
A nod.
7:30 a.m. 7:30 a.m. on Wednesday.
Do you want to leave some sperm here? Should I leave some sperm here? What am I doing?
Just tell me where.
Yeah. It's on the nightstand, babe.
You got it. Honey, I put a couple in the fridge for you in case you miss it. And then, 7:30 a.m., Skype call with New York about the next episode of After Trek. Read through that script. And then I would go back to the Goldbergs at Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. So I'd usually leave work and drive to Pasadena to mm-hmm. record James Bonding at 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights.
Yep.
Thursdays, I'd have therapy at 8 a.m., go to the Goldbergs. Thursday or Friday during lunch, I would try to record Star Trek The Next Conversation with Andy. And then Thursday night, I would record Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure with my wife. Fridays, I would go to the Goldbergs, and then Friday nights, I would leave work and drive to the airport,
mm-hmm.
and then I would fly to New York.
And that was, you did almost like 2 months of that, right?
Yeah.
And then New York to go do
After Trek. Saturdays were kind of my day to sort of catch up on sleep/email/work. I would often be recording ads for James Bonding
sure.
in the hotel room over Skype with Matt Gourley.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sundays, 2 p.m. call time for the show. Read the script, do a rehearsal, tape the show at 9:30 p.m. live. Not go to sleep and then get picked up at 4:15 a.m.
Wow, so those, sounds like you were shaken and not stirred.
Bye, everyone. Have a good time.
Oh, Chris disappeared.
That's all I was here to do.
I don't
weirdly specific
anymore.
Task. Weirdly specific goal. You were about to say something because he said he didn't go to bed.
So Sunday and Monday, that was like a no sleep, almost like 36 hours. Because you said you woke up kind of late on Sundays. Just to catch up on sleep? Or
Saturdays would catch up on sleep, sort of. And then Sunday, the problem with the Sunday night thing is we'd finish at like 10:30. And you've just done a live television show, so you're like amped up, and you can't like run home to
no,
run to the
you
hotel.
Can't.
You're just gonna sit.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't run to the hotel and sleep because it would only A, be 4 hours of sleep, and B, it was just impossible. Well,
it's impossible because you're terrified you're gonna sleep through your flight,
yeah,
and you
I
can't.
Would try, yeah. And I would try to sleep. It never.
What are you
works.
Doing? What are you doing to force yourself to stay awake?
It depends. Sometimes I will go for a walk, long New York walks at night. Big fan of those. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll go back and like watch YouTube or something on the
New York is really I've been there twice in the past few weeks, and it's the best at Christmas time. And the weather, with the exception of like a quick little Arctic pocket a couple weeks ago, as I was just there a couple days ago, spectacular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now of course any day now it's going to turn into an ice forest.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I'm sort of with the back half of season 1 of Discovery starts January 7th. So we're going January 7th through February 11th. And I'm fully prepared for horrible weather.
Yeah, well, at least the cold air makes it so you can't smell all the piss and garbage on the streets.
That's right.
But the pissicles really are nice for Christmas.
This time of year.
No one wants to be in New York in the summer.
Yellow bells. Hey, are you going to maybe consider not taping podcasts while you're doing this craziness?
I'm doing After Trek now. I have to? Them. Yeah. Got to crank them out. Got a lot of advertisers I got to please, Chris.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, your life is such a movie plot because someone might go, Matt, you're doing too much. And you go, but I have to. The IVF is so expensive. What does it cost every time?
It depends on what we're doing that round. But, I think last year or this year, 2017, I think we probably spent about 70.
Oof.
Drugs and retrievals and transfers and all
now in your estimation
tests and whatnot.
I know this is going to be a dumb question.
Yeah,
should it really cost that much, or is it just because they know that people will pay more when they're trying to conceive a
child? This is an excellent question, Chris, and a question my wife and I have struggled with over the last year and a half. And I think that it should probably realistically cost $3,000. Like that's what it should cost.
Yeah.
I feel like all the equipment's paid for at the clinic already. Like, right. I don't think there's an overhead other than their rent.
They could name a wing after you.
I feel like, I have friends who go to the same clinic and have gone, let's see, we've done three. We're going to do our fourth in January. And they've done, like, seven.
Mm.
Oh my God. It's crazy. Their overhead's covered, so I think they should really give me a break.
That's now, are you gonna turn like your bathroom into make it look like an IVF clinic room so you can jerk off in there?
Yeah, I just need to be able to jerk off. So what I'll need is uncomfortable looking chairs with some cracked leather that you're wondering how it got cracked.
Yeah. Wear and tear.
Violent porn, like weirdly odd, like Ass Blasters 3.
Really?
The porn selection in an IVF jerk-off room is really...
fetishy?
Yeah, super fetishy.
Why even bother using their stuff? You have your phone.
No, you always gotta look, just to see what's doing. Yeah. You gotta like, take a gander.
Yeah, what's popping off.
Yeah, and then see what's doing.
Yeah.
A lot of magazines still that are tattered.
I appreciate that in this day and age, someone is still willing to crank it to the still image.
Yeah.
There's real art. There's real art to that.
You know, it's not as bad as you think. A still image jerk off sesh.
Herb Ritz books in there, I imagine. Madonna sex books. National Geographic from the 50s to the 70s.
Yes.
I can hardly get it going for anything less than an animated GIF.
Yeah, sure. You at least need that repeating
well,
4 seconds.
Attention spans are shorter.
Yeah.
I just need one awkward GIF of SpongeBob and Patrick doing something.
Yeah, I need a sexy Vine.
Yeah, that's
sexy Vine.
Why does it still have your Vine loops on your Twitter profile page when Vine is not still an active
believe we're in a world where post-Vine. It's a post-Vine climate, guys.
I never thought it would happen, except for, while Vine was going on.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you really think mine was like ever going to go away? I never thought it would go away.
Well, I was surprised that it went away as quickly as it did.
Yeah.
That did surprise me because there were people who legitimately were. But you know what? With all these tech platforms, with the exception of a couple of them, they operate under this idea of like, well, let's just corral the audience and then we'll figure out how to make money. Once we have the audience.
Right.
But then in that process, their challenge is how do we scale up without an alien and bring in new subscribers or bring in new users while not alienating the existing users? I mean, it's a fucked up it's really a fucked up business because a lot of them are just like – you just read these things of like – oh, so-and-so lost $5 billion last year, but they're still cranking along.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at Amazon, which did not turn a profit until, what, like 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Amazon was just
money losing. Well, they would just expand so much every year, right?
Yeah.
But on paper, it was explained to me that when they bought Whole Foods, Amazon's valuation is so high that when it bought Whole Foods for, what was it?
Less than Star Wars.
No, I don't think. Wasn't it like no, Star Wars was four billion.
Was it?
Star Wars, I think, was.
Katie, we're gonna need to know how much.
I thought Whole Foods was like 10 or 13 or something along those lines. But anyway, whatever they bought Whole Foods for, it was explained to me by a businessman that when they bought Whole Foods, their valuation went up just a few percentage points.
Yeah.
But because their valuation overall was so high, that their valuation went beyond the money that they spent on Whole Foods. So on paper, they already turned a profit by a couple of billion dollars.
That's all speculative, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It is all, yeah.
Yeah, nothing's real.
Nothing's real. Your Bitcoins are enjoy it while you can, guys. Enjoy your cryptocurrency.
What about money? Yeah. Money's still good.
I'm changing everything into gold doubloons.
I think
shoving it in my mattress.
What's a doubloon?
I don't know. I just kind of.
Is that the Rachel Bloom currency?
That's the Rachel Bloom currency.
Rachel DeBloom. Yes. Break that into song.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I made them.
I was talking to someone about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and I said to them, I was like, well, has it ever explained why they break out into song? Because I'd never seen the show, and they're like, well, she's crazy. I was like, oh, it's in the title.
Yeah. It's in the title of the show. Yeah. That Rachel Bloom is great.
She's talented. I really dig her a lot. She's a talented person.
That show's a lot of fun, too.
Now, what are you, Jonah, you've had a very, since this is sort of the hostful year wrap-up, I guess, your year was...
peaks and valleys?
Yeah. I mean...
One valley, one gnarly. Like, the year, this year has been just so nutty, where, like, I wrapped up Hidden America season 2, and then it came out right around the same time as Mystery Science Theater, and then there was like a little bit of time, and then we went and did the Mystery Science Theater tour, which was tough just because it was like I couldn't sleep on the bus, and like, you know, it was just
maybe just kind of explain to people what that, because the funny thing is how much, you know, when you're younger you just think, oh, I really want this thing. The idea that you probably could never have even it would never have even occurred to you that you would ever take over Mystery Science Theater.
No.
So then you get this job. It's your dream job. It's a lot of work. Obviously, it's rewarding because, first of all, you did an amazing job on it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Then you go on this tour, which maybe seems like, oh, it'll be fun. I'm with my friends at a Mystery Science Theater. But I got chest pains hearing about that schedule.
Yeah, I think you called me when you saw like the
I did.
The,
I was worried schedule. About you.
Yeah, the schedule's supposed to be.
I texted you. Yeah. I texted you too. Did. I was like, what the fuck?
So just
fuck?
Sort of walk people through what that was.
So it was, we did about 6 weeks and then a week before that of rehearsals. We did two different movies most nights. So sometimes there was like one show a night, two shows in one night. And it was like almost pretty much a city a day. We had maybe one or two nights off a week, but those were usually travel days. And so it basically, you'd do a show, you do a meet and greet either before or after.
But the show is a full...
Yeah.
You were doing a full episode of Mystery Science Theater with interruptions and sketches.
Yeah. So it's like we would, you know, there would be an opening video with Patton and Felicia's characters. And then like the theme song would start, I'd run out. Hampton, like, you know, would scoot on a little, you know, stool with wheels, like, below, you know, and then this guy, Tim Ryder, who was he was a bonehead in the series, but he filled in for Servo because Baron couldn't do the tour. And so, like, you know, they come in, we do a whole, you know, opening sketch, we interact with the video, we got movie sign, we run behind the screen and get up onto a platform, and it's a rear projection, so we have our silhouettes like on the, you know, the corner of the screen, and then we do the riffs for either Iga or Argo Man, the Fantastic Superman, which is fantastic. It's a really great, terrible movie. And then that segment's over, but then there's the door sequence, so we run back out and do a sketch, and then get movie signed, run back behind the, you know, do the next segment of the movie, come back out, do a sketch, intermission for about 15 minutes, and then come back out, run back and do another segment, another sketch, and then there's like two songs.
Jesus.
And yeah, it was like a real show. It was like, yeah, real, like a, you know, big, and once it starts, it's just going and you can't stop it, and it's really exhausting. And then on top of that, like, we would do meet and greets with the VIP ticket holders,
yep,
which was always like, that stuff would always be nice just because it was, you know, everyone was so excited and would kind of energize you and get you ready for the show. But if we did two shows in one night, that was two different movies, two live shows, we'd have to do one meet and greet before and then one afterwards. And I always felt so bad for those people because I was so wrecked. And like, I was just, you know, like really tired and all the time. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be present. And then after that, we have maybe about an hour to get onto the bus, and then the bus drives to the next city while we're sleeping. Well, while everyone else was sleeping, I couldn't sleep on the bus.
Oh, is that because you're 6'5"?
6'5" in a
bunk bed?
In a bunk bed that's 6'5.5 feet long.
Did you ever wake up and smack your head on the...
Yeah, so the first night, it turns out like my air conditioner vent wasn't working, and so I like hotboxed myself inside this thing. It was terrible. And then I toss and turn, and so like every time I would turn, like I would like hit my head on top of the bunk, and then I hear the guy, like, you know, above me kind of go, "Hey, you know, take it easy."
Well, who's the guy above you?
I had one of the crew guys. Oh. Yeah, I think it was this,
take it easy. And did you go, kid, "Do you know who I am?"
No.
"I am Jonah Heston.
I am Jonah. I'm the reason." No, Joel's there too. So I couldn't complain because Joel was in a bunk too, and he's, you know, a guy in his 50s, and he's just, you know. So, but it was, yeah, everyone else was like, "Oh, keep man, sleeping down, on the bus there is great."
No, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a bus tour.
It really just puts me to bed. It's
no.
Like, and so I would try it like, you know, I was trying all these different things like sleep water or taking melatonin.
Yeah.
Melatonin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, I don't metabolize too fast, so like I wouldn't work when I was trying to get to sleep, like taking that sleep water or melatonin, and then the next day, like it would just be in my muscles and my body, and I'd be wrecked the whole next day.
It would like, finally kick in when you needed to be awake.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, I don't do like weed edibles well. Like, it's like this is like, you know, it's like 4 hours later, and I'm like, well, I guess nothing's happening. I'll go to bed. Oh no.
Well, it's got to cover a lot of ground with.
Yeah, it's got a lot of space to fill.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And then I would try, well, I'll just have like some beers to like just get sleepy enough to like just go and the movement wouldn't bug me. And so I'd like in the living room, I'd like drink a few beers and be like, okay, I'm pretty tired. And then I go to the bunk and I just, you know, that
fall asleep with your eyes open.
Yeah. Just like drunk and not feeling kind of sick and hungover from just like not being able to sleep.
And you're being shimmied back and forth because of the bus.
Here's the thing. We were told we got this guy, this bus driver called Smooth Kenny. That's what everyone says. Like the guys like who are running the tour.
You got Chris, Smooth Kenny.
He's like, we got Smooth Kenny. It's like never hit a rumble strip. That's the guy's whole, like, you know, that's what he's known for, being like the smoothest bus driver.
Sounds like you hit a lot of rumble strips.
Yeah. We must have had fucking Bumpy Daryl or some shit, because like it was like every fucking night it was like like just constantly hitting either the rumble strips on the side or the dividers on the other side, and I was above the wheel, and it's all great.
I don't want people to think we're complaining about your dream job, but when you actually get into the logistics of it,
let's clarify. The dream job was making the show.
Let me tell you about when I did the bus tour last year, and Lydia came with me, and we had this really great bus driver. He was a really sweet guy, but it just like, and I think for him, you know, we were not the typical, you know, neither of us drink. We, you know, we're not party people. Mm-hmm. Like, we're very low key, And but I'm just curious if you got the same rule, because when he kind of gave us the rundown of what to do and not do on the bus, he said he finally got to no number twos.
No number twos.
Unless you're going to hot bag it. And we're like, hot bag. Oh, no. Like, yeah. Basically, if you shit into a bag in the toilet and then tie it up real fast, you can do that. By the way, there was no hot bagging.
That was the big thing. No number twos. And we would, like, it's like if any of us really had to go, like, we would just, like, hey, can you pull off at the next spot, you know? And so, like, that was always the worst. Like, I would, like, wake up. Like I would usually end up kind of falling asleep once the bus stopped, and like it was always a bummer when it just was a truck stop, because then like once I'd fall asleep and then the bus would start back up and then I wouldn't be able to sleep again.
So it sounds like it took a lot of mystery out of the Mystery Science Theater.
It did. And then like so we like you know we roll up into the next city like you like you know we would roll up and then that's when I'd fall asleep and I'd wake up you know later and like you know I'd get my stuff and. And like you, and a lot of these were like older theaters, so they had like terrible backstage like showers. Like I remember one time, they're like, "Here's a shower you can use." It was like not in Boston, like Philly or something like that, but like it was like a screwdriver to turn on this faucet. It was just like trickling water, and like I was like, and I moved the shower curtain, and just tons of roaches, and you know, and you like all you really want is like a shower just to get the bus all the recycled air off of you,
yeah.
And then you have a little bit of time to go find some food that's not terrible for you, and then
was D on any of this tour?
No, it's like shortly after I left for tour, I think it was in Boston. It was like the night of the night before our first show. We were in Boston, and she like we got off the phone, and then she called me back immediately, and like our dog Ruby was having a seizure, and so like so she took her to the thing, and now like our dog is on like amongst all like her heart. Congestive heart failure medicine, and then you know, her Cushing's pills, and it's like now
Peter Cushing's pills.
Peter Cushing's pills. Yeah, it just makes her look a little weird.
Yeah,
but we don't mind because it's kind of neat for our story.
Yeah. It's retro. It's cool and nostalgic.
Yeah. So it's like at 6:30 a.m., 2:30 p.m., 10:30 p.m. Ruby needs her seizure medicine.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and so it's like it just kind of like was like a thing. It's like D couldn't really come out for any of it. So.
Oh my god!
So it kind of complicated.
And then when you got back from the tour, your dad thought it would be cool to die.
My dad, like, with great timing as ever, got like he had a stroke. A few days after I got back from tour, I'm trying to remember. You know, when so much stuff happens, like it's like. Time kind of starts. So I can't remember if it was like a few days after the tour, or
really soon after you got home. I remember.
Yeah, and so my dad, I got a text from my cousin, and she said, "Hey, your dad's had a stroke." I was like, "Why are you telling me this? Why is my mom telling me this?" And then I called my mom, and then she's like, she was waiting to hear what the deal was. So what happened like the night before is that like they were sleeping and I guess he got up and then he fell down and then it was like he had a stroke. So it's like he fell down. My mom woke up and like, you know, he was trying to get up, but one side of his body wasn't, you know, working. So they called the ambulance and then they took him in So then like it's just like he kind of just like brain is gone. His brain is gone. And then so like once we found out that there was really no way he was going to come back, me, Deanna, and Adam, my brother, flew out there. And then there was like a few days. And there was like, and, you know, we were talking a bunch during that time, which was very great. And then, Matt, when your dad dies, you can be part of the club.
You'll be part of the exclusive
John Myra, club. Somehow the last dad left.
I think he's actually still giving a speech at your wedding rehearsal dinner. I think he's still standing there in the cafe in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh,
and then another thing Matt did when he was in the Scouts. Then,
wait, where am I? as the hotel implodes. Yeah, it was it was crazy kind of going in because it's like his eyes would kind of wander around sometimes and like if you put your hand in his hand, it would squeeze it. And he would also like scratch. It was like very like every like 20 seconds or something like that, his palm would like rub above his eye and then his finger would scratch below his eye, and then he would put his hand back down. And it was always like very mechanical. And then if my mom talked, his eyes would go. And so I was like trying to like – I was getting scared because I wasn't sure which the term I found out was called locked in. Like if he was in there and he couldn't couldn't communicate, could like, you know, just stuck in like a
– Is there any way that they – and they don't know if that's the case. Can they tell? Can they tell with the EEG?
Yeah. They like – like I asked. I was like, is he there is what made him up like there? And it was hard to get an answer out because I think they're sensitive about the idea of like, you know – what people think of when they think of a human being. Like, and I was like, hey, like, let's just real quick say there's no soul. Are the electrons
real quick? No soul.
Are the electrons that made up, like, you know, my dad,
is his personality still
Is he still there? And they're like, not really. It's gone. It's like, the clot was there for longer, because they couldn't do a clot buster because he's on blood thinners.
Yeah. Oh.
And so if they had, like, by the time that he got to the hospital, if they had done it, like, it would have, like, just, you know, fucked him up real bad. But, like, at the same time, I was like, well, what's the difference?
Right.
Like, you know, once you have tried. But, you know, that's their discretion. And so either way, it would have, you know, ended up probably not good. And then there was, like, the next day was, like, he was asleep, but he was, like, breathing, like, very, like, like almost like he was on a machine.
Right.
And then that was 2 days. And then like my cousin Kalani, which is his name you love.
Yeah.
Cause my dad helped raise him. So he came from the Big Island and like a lot of the cousins came up from North Shore and we all kind of separately like went in the room and kind of like said goodbye as he was breathing. And then like at 2:30 AM, like Saturday night, like a few days, like, you know, I guess like, if it was Wednesday was the stroke. So on Saturday night, he died.
So you didn't have to make the decision about whether or not to.
No, I mean, that was kind of that was the scariest part. So like the stroke happened and you go, okay. Like it's like maybe, so he's gone. Like what made him is gone. It's real crazy because it's like, it looks like him. And then sometimes like his throat would clear because he would like, you know, saliva or whatever. And then it sounds like him. So it's like, you're looking at this guy, it's your dad. And he goes, and it sounds like him. And they're not
like
words.
He's going to come back.
Yeah. And they're looking around and you're just like, and then there's those moments where, you know, it almost looks like he looks right at you and you're just like, oh shit, maybe, you know, there's like a thing. And then we talked to his general practitioner who, like, you know, 2 weeks before gave him like a clean bill of health. He's like, you know, it's just cause his body was healthy. And that was actually the scary part was that it was, his body was healthy. So we were so scared that he would just have to be this vegetable that my mom would have to deal with and like just take care of him, like our hospice care or something, like, you know, wiping his ass for, you know, feeding tube, whatever the case. So that was scary. And that was like kind of a bit much for my mom. She was kind of like starting to, you know, break down. She's like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, that's insane. You know, she's been taking care of him because he's all his health problems over the years. You know, he's almost died so many times. And I think we all kind of had a head start on the process of knowing what we'd feel like because of the times he's almost died before.
Sure.
It's like 2 or 3 times in his life, the doctors say he's probably not going to make it.
But then, gosh, also faced with the idea of this indefinite vegetative state, it might have also been, I mean, I would imagine it, that weirdly took some of the edge off when he finally passed.
Yeah, like, it was
okay,
a relief.
So he's not going to just be a dead-brained body forever.
And that's the thing. It's like you really kind of – it makes you like, you know, really think about, you know, self and you know, life and stuff like that when you're like – it is – it's like, you know, visually it's him. It's his body. But he's not there, so it's not him. But it looks and sounds like him. You know, it's a spooky thing. It's like a real, like, it was a real head trip to like, just kind of, you know, my brother, he's like, hey, like, you know, do you want to, he'll squeeze your hand. I go, but it, like, I remember just like being in the room going like, but it doesn't mean anything.
It's just a mechanical thing.
Like, it's like, it's like some people might get something out of it, but like, I wasn't.
It is a trip. I, you know, my stepdad died a couple years before my dad, and it was just a weird thing. He was in went to get his car serviced, had some kind of I think it was very similar. He had some sort of a heart incident, which I think went to his brain. Like, if someone had been there, they could have.
Yeah.
But they came back and just found him in the room. And so he was you know, essentially brain dead.
Yeah.
But then lying in the hospital. And it is trippy because you just think, oh, am I willing to take the risk that this is the last time I'll see this person?
Yeah.
And that this is, am I, even if there's a chance they might come back.
Yeah.
And what, and the doctors, you know, it's rare that they, because they don't want to get sued, you know, like it's rare that they'll give you a definitive, you know, they'll go, well, it's not likely that you're like, just fucking tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the tough part. Like they're, you know, they're really just tiptoeing around all kinds of stuff. And you're just kind of like, it's just like, please just like, can we like, you know, like, and I even researched, it was like, oh, is there compassionate killing in the state of Hawaii? There's not, you know, there's,
right.
It was tough. It was like, you know, my mom's been with him, you know, since she was a kid, you know, not a kid, like, you know, like, it's like, yeah. She was like a senior in high school when they met.
Oh, wow.
So it's her whole life, you know, it's like being with him. And then, you know, it's like when he finally died, it was, it was real tough. Cause it's like, there's all these kind of like, you know, I'm sure you had the same thing. It's like I had a good relationship with him, but it was complicated. You know, like, it's like there was stuff that like, I wanted to like, you know, it's something like that I was thinking about for years. I was like, oh, like the opportunity you got, and then Dan Pasternak, our friend, also got to do it, where you got to interview your dad.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to like, just break down like his life and get a good concise idea of what his thoughts on things were and stuff like that. So that's kind of, that was tough. I just kind of like, you know, it was weird to, just have him be gone. And it's like how coming back to LA where my life wasn't that different because I've been out here for so long. And well,
that's what was so, and you know, I felt, I mean, obviously an incredible amount of empathy because of what you were going through with your dad, but also really understanding that for the past few years, you had been going. It was like, you know, Meltdown show, you know, not just the Meltdown show at Meltdown Comics, but also the Comedy Central Meltdown show. So Meltdown show, Hidden America, you know, Mystery Science Theater, Hidden America, again, Meltdown show, like all rap. You're going. You get back, your dad dies. You got to go back home, do it. You come back and all of a sudden it's just still.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. It's like the momentum is just like slamming on the brakes.
Yeah.
And that's a real shock to the system and really... I had the luxury of just continuing to work through, you know, it was just like,
yeah,
but everything just sort of coincidentally just stopped.
It would have been a weird time in my life, even if he didn't die. Like, it's like just all that stuff to end, like, so, you know, all of a sudden, and not like for any reason, just that's the way stuff times out. Just like what Matt was talking about earlier, which is like, it's like, oh, like all of a sudden stuff starts up and like, you know, just as easily a bunch of stuff can just wrap up. And so, yeah, it would have been weird. And then to kind of just have that, you know, maybe it was nice to like, you know, just have the opportunity to figure out how to grieve, I guess, you know, it's still a process. I started seeing a therapist, you know, I ran into a friend and like, he said, like, he's like, you know, when people get into a car accident, they go to physical therapy and this is an emotional car accident.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, therapy is a good idea. And so, yeah, and then, my mom, it's, you know, it's been great. Like, you know, she's been out here and now she's up with her parents up in Chico, California. And so, you know, there's like good days and bad days and it's still a whole process.
Yeah, it is. And you know, what I said to you and what I would say to anyone, cause I get a lot of messages from people that say, hey, I just joined the Dead Dad Club. And I always say to them, you know, and I try to answer everyone I can. I think I answer everyone that writes to me about that because I feel like it's really important to, and what I say is, you know, don't fight anything that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel really sad one day, cry if you need to. If you feel really happy, it's okay to laugh. If you feel angry, feel angry. No matter what you're feeling, the more you just sort of give yourself over to the, you know, whatever the waves of emotion are, the quicker it's going to heal because, you know, it's just so hard to fight it.
And yeah.
That's what's going to really drag it out.
And that's the thing. I'm not sure if this is the same for you, but we all have like kind of mood swings, but like I can like with it was since it's happened, like I wasn't able to sleep for a while. Like after like, a, you know, like I just could not just go to bed and just eyes open. Like I was on the tour bus again. But like I can feel the mood swing start. Like I can almost feel my emotions start like leaning and careening to like, you know, a certain place, be it happy or sad. But like, I've never actively noticed mood swings before. And that's kind of like been real weird, where I kind of like, I remember even like last week, I was just like, I think later today I'm going to not feel so good. It was real, like real weird. And like, it's like, there's a lot of other stuff like that's, you know, like it's, you know, even though like my dad had a, like kind of a full life, like it's like, I kind of felt bad for a lot of the bad stuff that happened to him. Like, it's like, you know, there was one thing I was said, like the night he died, where it's like, oh, I just wanted him to have like another win.
Yeah.
You know, just one thing. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, you should, you know, it's a bummer thing. You can be upset.
You can totally to be on Magnum PI. None of us did.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's just one of those things where you just, when it needs to come up, it needs to come up.
Yeah.
And you just have to feel it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's very natural. And I always feel like it's the most you can do to honor someone is to, you know, feel how you're going
to
feel.
Yeah. I was trying not to.
Well, that's the problem.
We literally
Jonah.
Just said you shouldn't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it works so good for Matt.
Push it all down, Jonah. Push it all down.
Push it up. Jonah, don't you want to be a ticking time bomb? Don't you want to be a time bomb?
Just a ball of eventual rage.
No, yeah, I still listen, man. It's still It sneaks up on me, man. I watched Parenthood the other night, and like 3/4 of the way through, Lydia had fallen asleep, and I was like, you know, just seeing it, because it's just, because so much of it is just dads on dads.
A lot of dad on dad stuff. Like, I haven't been able to watch one of my favorite movies, Beginners, which was my comfort movie for a long time.
Oh, no.
Can't watch that.
There's a lot of dads on dad stuff in the jerk-off room at the IVF club.
Oh, it's a classic time bomb joke. A classic. Just mush it down with clove cigarettes. Yeah.
That's how I deal with the stress, Chris. That's how I deal with the anger.
And running around. But in general, I've been really impressed by how well you've been doing, by how well you've been dealing with it, and how healthy you've been. I think I was a little worried, like, oh, I hope Jonah doesn't just start drinking a ton now to get over it. And I haven't. I'm not with you every day, but I haven't really noticed that that's been the case. And you really, I think you're doing a good job.
Thanks. Yeah.
Have you tried drinking a lot to deal with it?
Well, that first week when I was in Hawaii, like I drank a ton.
Yeah.
You know,
it doesn't help.
Well, that's what
it doesn't
do
help.
There.
But it was like, is you know, it's it was it just that's like
you know what they say.
Drinking, yeah.
When in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but that was like, you know, that was just so nuts being back home for a bit. But it was the weirdest thing was like, just like I spent that first week, like just was just me and my mom. I was staying in the bed, like with her, like so I was on my dad's side. And that was another like really kind of lame thing that made me start kind of like evaluating a lot of stuff in my own life. Was that his side of the bed was like a little lower than her side of the bed.
Yeah.
And like it was because he just watched TV in bed all the time.
Oh, mine's much lower just because I'm so much fatter than my
wife. Yeah.
Well, you know, the remedy for that is just get a new mattress every so often.
Yeah.
You know, when my dad, before my dad met my stepmom, there was a period, my mom and dad got divorced. My dad was probably around 40 or 41. And then he married my stepmom when he was 49. But before then, he had been single for like 8 years. I mean, he dated, but he had this couch. You know, if he had never gotten married again, he would have had this furniture until he died. But his couch had that ass depression on it.
Oh, yeah.
Where the fabric was smeared off.
Yeah.
And it was just like it was not hard to see where he sat.
Yeah.
In that couch. And that is just such a dad thing of like, eh.
Yeah.
But I mean, was your dad sedentary lifestyle, did that contribute to this?
Yeah, of course. Like my mom said, he would lay down watching TV and he would cross his legs at his ankles, like tons of stuff that's just bad for you. And he got healthy because like the doctor's like, you got to get healthy, like, you know.
Yeah,
like it's like because like all this, you know, he was always on the verge of maybe getting diabetes and stuff like that. But like it's like, you know, my mom would say, it's like, you know, I'd say, hey Mike, do you want to go for a walk? And he'd be like, oh, and he'd like hem and haw, and like I just like would flash to like every time I'm on the couch at home and Deanna were like, you want to go walk to go get like coffee or something? I'd be like, I don't know. You know, just like, and just like, it was just this weird, like, and he was, I think he was just depressed, you know, like, I don't think he, He didn't like that he didn't. He used to have money and he didn't have it anymore, and that really bummed him out.
Our parents' generation didn't really understand oppression, though. They really just, you know, like it was really like, I don't know, you know, they just didn't really have a real healthy approach. Not everyone, obviously, but by and large, they just didn't really have a healthy approach to mental health because I think it was just like it was just the walk it off generation, or like you know, I'm not going to go see a... Well, I'm not fucking crazy. I'm not going to go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
And so they just didn't really... I mean, I think if anything, what our generation has... And this next generation has done is really normalize talking about mental health.
I think it's very, you know, it's a very good thing to do.
I still think it's not as normalized as it should be.
Yeah.
No, but from the difference between our parents' generation and now.
Oh, yeah. When I told my mom I was going to therapy, she's like, oh, why?
Oh, yeah. Wait,
you know, because of the last chunk of time.
Yeah. That was an interesting thing, too. Like, the week I spent with my mom, we just kind of just, like, talked shit about my dad. Like, it's like, you know, it was a weird thing. Like, it was just like, I kind of asked her a bunch of questions. Like, I was like, it's like, did he resent, like, my money or success? And she's like, yeah, kind of. Like, it was she's like, and I never got it. And I told him to relax. Like, it was a bunch of shit like that, where it's like, you know, like, I was like, why did he do this? Or why was he like this? And, you know, we just kind of like talk shit.
Like cathartic.
You know what's
it was very cathartic.
And I think that's also okay, because this thing happens where when...
I love how Joan is the only one not wearing glasses. It's very strange.
I know.
I also got LASIK. I also, like, you know, lasered, like, one of my...
Well, this podcast has changed, man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. My identity is gone. That's another... It's like I was talking to my therapist, and, like, she's like, you know, you bring up the fact that you don't wear glasses anymore quite a bit. And she's like, I think even if your dad didn't die, you would probably still need to go to therapy.
For the glasses, at least.
Well, I don't need glasses to see. That's very aggressive. But I think that sometimes... A thing can happen. My mom told me this great story about she used to, you know, my mom's Catholic. She used to sing. She was a song leader in the church, and she, I think that she was singing at this one funeral. This was like a couple decades ago. And the guy, who was an older guy who died, and he was a fucking ass. Like, guy was just an asshole.
Yeah.
But everyone who got up to speak about him was like, you know, he was so generous, and so okay. And the guy's wife got up and she was like, let's not kid ourselves. He was not a great guy, and I don't need to stand up here and lie. And, you know, everyone at first was like, whoa, but then she was being honest. You know, there's nothing wrong with this idea of like, oh, you can't speak ill of the dead. Like, well, sometimes, you know, everyone's flawed. And sometimes if you're going to honor someone's life, you're going to talk about someone's life. You should be able to talk about all of it.
I think so.
Not just pretend that, oh my God, you know, like before I would have said they had problems, but now they're perfect because they're not here anymore.
Yeah, my mom was really worried about that, because she had to deal with them all the time. So it's like she's like, I just like everyone going like, oh, he was so great. It's like, yeah, he was sometimes. Sometimes he was a good guy. Other times he was just a grump.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
So you can learn from that.
Yeah. No. It was very nice. And it was like, and then like when, you know, for Thanksgiving, we went to my mom's family, you know, their place. And like, it was cool. Like hearing like, you know, my uncle's like her brother's like, he's like, so, you know, I needed money one time. Your dad was really good. Like all my cousins, like, you know, saying cool stuff about him. So that was like, that was really, really nice.
Yeah. It'll be a never ending. I mean, it'll get to a point where maybe you're there, but it'll get to a point where when you think about it, the emotion that comes forward isn't so much sadness, but sort of like a weird comforting thing. You'll utter something, and you'll go, "Fuck, that's exact." And then you'll be comforted by it because you're like, "Oh, he's kind of not in any mystical way, but like, oh, he's alive in me. His molecules are in me, both emotionally and physically."
Yeah.
And so he does live on.
Yeah, and that worries me the most.
Well, but you're aware of what you... Like, you're aware of the things that you don't want to repeat. You're aware of those flaws. And look, the good news is... I mean, a lot of times people will either make exactly the same mistakes their parents made, or you'll make new and innovative mistakes. You know, like you'll... And so maybe... You know, maybe that's, but it always does sort of make you aware of like, oh, is this a, you know, I notice negative things all the time that I do. I go, oh, I think that was my dad, or I think that's my dad's father.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and.
Yeah, I see that. I see, like, I'm seeing some of my dad's dad, my grandfather in me sometimes as I get older, and like I go, God, that guy was such a dick. What am I doing? Yeah. Oh, when he makes fun of you, it means he likes you. And I go, wait, I think I've literally said that. I go, well, I only make fun of my friends.
Yeah. But it has been an incredible, it has really been an incredible year.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of, you know, it's like a lot of stuff. It's just like, it's like so many things, so many different things throughout the year.
Isn't it funny how good things and bad things, but good things, you know, you do kind of have this weird, you can kind of have this self-flagellation when good things are happening and you're stressed about it. You're like, but these are the good things, and anyone else would tell me I'm crazy and for complaining about this. Yeah. And you know, I'm lucky and I owe it to the universe to not say a peep about, but you know, no matter what, your body only has so much energy in it.
Yeah.
And so whatever you're stacking on top of your normal emotional load is going to be stressful, whether it's on paper good or bad. So, yeah, you know, it's you shouldn't feel too bad about, you know, being like, oh no, we gotta, you know, because you're gonna do season two of Mystery Science Theater now, which I'm sure is fun. But I remember talking to you during that process, and that's a fucking intense. People don't realize the amount of work that goes into something that looks so off the cuff and like just playful.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of writing and a lot of rewriting. It's like, you know, you write, you know, thousands of jokes for each movie, thousands and thousands, and then like you'll have like the perfect joke for the perfect moment, but you can't figure out how to bring the words in so it's like so it fits in the spot where it'll make the most sense. And yeah, it's real tricky, but real, you know, it's real fun. It's like, and it's, you know, new.
After the IVF and the dead dad thing, I just feel bad for complaining about a weird thing that happened to me a couple months ago.
But he's going
to
do it anyway.
Well, I'm going to bring it up anyway.
So he went to Portland for this
ham, this croissant.
Ham croissant.
they didn't have that ham croissant. And
is there a statute of limitations on the ham and cheese croissant at Ken's Artisan Bakery? Did you have it? Because it's really fucking good. And no, did I mention?
They had one and you didn't let us have a bite.
They found one after I threw a mini tantrum. Now, I'm not saying that it's a good thing to do, but listen, you can't argue with results.
Yeah, I know.
I honestly think of that moment.
I was just tired. I was overtired.
No, because you'd been talking about it.
Yeah, once or twice a month, that moment comes up in my head where I just think to myself, I'm like,
yeah, it was a douchey
boy,
moment.
Actually, the end sort of conclusion in my head every time I think of it, and I almost always think of it as I'm like, going out to my car, I think of this moment. We're at this bakery.
Jesus Christ. It's like 2012.
Listen, you let me finish before you say I'm
mocking
you.
It might be a good thing,
you.
Chris.
Okay.
Chris had been talking up this ham and cheese croissant at this bakery. So,
when you travel a lot, those are the little things that kind of fuel
it.
You.
Yes. Totally get it. Yeah. Like, I cannot, like, I think about a pepperoni slice from Joe's in the village all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, he's talking about this croissant. We go to Portland. We check into the hotel, and then Harvick's like, well, let's go to the bakery.
Let's go right there, guys.
Let's go to the bakery.
Yeah. You know, they got this ham and cheese croissant.
You
got
to try this croissant. So Jonah and I go up, and we get whatever, coffee and something else, and Harvick goes and asks for this croissant, and they tell him flat out, essentially, we're out. We're out of this croissant.
But can I just say, and this is only child syndrome.
Yeah.
The man, and it's certainly not her responsibility to take care of my feelings over a fucking croissant.
Yeah.
However, it just the way she said it was so cold. It was like, yeah, we don't have that. But
no,
but I just,
and this is the point. This is what I think about all the time. I think about the fact that
she was a little sharp.
You could have just left. You could have just let it be and not had the thing that you had been wanting for months.
Yeah.
But you did. You prodded. Yeah.
I said something that made absolutely no sense to her, nor should she cared about, which is, I just traveled here from somewhere else, you know, and came here specifically to get this thing, you know, which should not have made a fucking lick of difference.
But lo and behold,
they had another one.
She goes in the back and magically, they had this other ham and cheese croissant. And I think about that sometimes where I'm like, you know, sometimes you don't, the first answer is not always the answer.
I will agree that the first answer a lot of the time is not the answer. The first answer is usually the quickest, like the shortcut answer. It's the quickest. I don't want to have to.
They were almost closed too, right?
Yeah, it was late in the afternoon. And it's the same thing with like customer service or like if you're dealing with an airline. Well, we can't change this ticket. Let me speak to a supervisor. Here's why this is. All right, we'll change it for you. It's like because they know that a large percentage of people will just say okay.
Yeah.
And I know it sucks to sort of be the douchebag who pushes, but a lot of times it does get
and
get
I think
something
that,
done.
And then I turn my car on and I go, boy, what a baby, and I laugh to myself.
It was not a great moment, but
you should have heard my disappointment when I like right before I went to tour to fly out to for rehearsals for that tour. Like D and I were like, let's go drive down to Pedro and we'll have a swordfish burrito from Baja Fish. We roll up, boarded up, they closed down.
Oh,
and I was like, out of my mouth. No, like just.
I want that.
The enjoy your burrito is no longer.
So you went and got a Jack in the Box across the street.
So here's what happened. Here's what happened a couple months ago.
Oh yes,
Depeche Mode came into town, played the Bowl, and I go, you know what? This is very excited about this. Very excited about this. So I get tickets. I get this great box seats. I invite my friend Tom Lennon, I invite my friend Will Wheaton, I invite my friend April Richardson, we're going to go see Depeche Mode, it's going to be great. We're like at the front, like we're at the last box before the pit.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
So we go to dinner, we go to the concert. I don't go to concerts very often. So when the first song, I'm like, it's loud. Everyone else has earplugs. Did not occur to me to bring earplugs. Tom Lennon, thankfully, I got an extra set. Here, take these. So I jam them in, still incredibly loud. Leave the concert. My ears feel a little clogged. I wake up the next morning, ringing.
Yeah.
Ringing.
Yeah.
And it's loud. And it's not stopping. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's fine. Days. Ringing. Mm. Ringing. And it's not. Starts to get a little better. We have the Walking Dead premiere, which I saw you at.
Yeah.
It's starting to get at least a little more manageable, and it's very loud at the after party. And at a certain point, I'm like, what am I doing? We have to leave because I can feel my ears starting to get.
Jeez.
We get home, ringing louder. I have like a full-on flip-out, like rocking in the corner. Like I've ruined my – because anyone who has chronic tinnitus
– Yes, I do.
You do have it.
Mm-hmm. From playing drums, yeah.
You know, it – When it first starts happening, you do think to yourself, how will I ever live with this? Because you can't shut it off.
No.
It just never stops.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and there's nothing that makes it, because it's in your ears. It's in your head.
It's a noisy fridge in your head.
And so I feel sorry for my wife, and it just reaffirmed how much I loved her because she was amazing through through the whole thing. You know, go to the doctor. Well, you know, they can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
It might get better, might not, you know, probably will. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those weird things that you never think about. So I would tell people, bring earplugs to a concert. Don't jam them in your ear too hard.
Yes.
But, you know, it never occurred to me. And it's funny thing is we had just seen Baby Driver.
Funny. Yeah.
But it hadn't really, I mean, you can understand what a ringing in your ear might be. But when it's nonstop, do you still have it all the time?
Yeah, that's why I like having some like sounds or music or movie on when I go.
So it kind of it went away, and I felt a tremendous amount of relief. And then a couple nights ago, I go to answer my phone and accidentally hit it on speakerphone and hold it to my ear and I go, "Hey, how's it going?" And and so my ears have been kind of ringing again for the past couple days.
Oh, no.
And, of course, I've been terrified that it's not. And it's getting better.
You'll just acclimate to it, and it's just like a thing that's there, but you won't really notice it after a while.
Yeah.
Like these extra Unless it's 30 real pounds?
Yeah.
But it's such a – I mean, listen, it's not the same as – I really understand it's not the same as someone losing their dad.
No, it's pretty close.
But it just –
It's a one-on-one.
It is a strange – it was strange to sort of, you know, being someone who has claustrophobia, it's almost a very claustrophobic feeling.
Because
you're like, oh, I can't get away. I can't get away.
Yeah.
I can run around in circles. I can put things in my ears.
What's it like? Have you gone in the pool, put your head underwater?
No, it's fine. I mean, it hadn't bothered me for about 6 weeks until a couple of days ago. But then the crazy thing happens is that when you're so hyper aware of it, then you just are like, oh, was that always there and I never noticed it? Or
you also have the comic neuroses of honing in on the thing and just amplifying it.
I wish I had brought that up before we talked about your dad.
Yeah, it would have seemed like a better time.
No, but it was a nice, started like kind of crazy with Matt stuff, peaked with my terrible stuff.
But then one day I couldn't get this roll that I wanted in a bakery.
You took us in for a soft landing.
I apologize profusely.
Did we ask you to try it, or did Donna and I know to just let you eat the thing?
What?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't think we ate croissant.
Yeah, we knew to like let him have it.
Yeah,
let him have his victory.
And like guys like us, we would have had a bigger bite than he would have been willing to give.
Yeah.
Oh, you're that much of it?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's like asking for a chicken finger.
Yeah, there's not three halves. You know, there's not three halves, right? It's only two halves. That's how halves work. Yeah. It's only two halves. But I'm going up to Portland. I know by the time this goes up, I might have been in Portland, but I'm going up to Portland to Helium. And out, Ken's Artisan Bakery.
May they have an ample supply of.
I'm going to be there for a few days this time, so I'll get there early.
There you go.
That's the way to do it. Well, let's talk about some things that we're thankful for this year, since we had a lot of complaining and sadness. And Matt, what have you been thankful for in 2017?
I mean, listen, it's been a wild ride. I'm very thankful for my wife for dealing with me being gone and
being gone, huh?
But actually, yes. Surprisingly, someone likes me. Someone likes having me around.
She's the best. Your wife is rad.
She is. She's fantastic. I'm very thankful for her. I'm also thankful to the universe for all those years of drawing Enterprises on my notebooks and paying too much attention to Star Trek, that it finally paid off in the job.
Well, it was I was very impressed because. When you took off from at midnight ended for you, I said, well, hey, you can come back in the fall if you want to. And then you called me a couple of days before we were going to offer you the, you said, Kevin Smith is doing this thing. I'm going to go work on a thing. I don't want the job.
Yeah.
And we said, okay, so we hired someone else. And a couple weeks later, you go, oh, that Kevin thing might not work out. Can I get that job? And I go, well, it's not available anymore. We gave it to someone. Mm-hmm. And you were like, well, what am I going to do? And I go, I don't know. Maybe we can try to figure something out. But I honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you had a moment of freaking out. But then you really like got your shit together because you were, pushed up against a wall. Basically, you were painted into a corner. And you figured it out.
Yeah.
And now all these great things
That's
happened.
What Myra shines.
It's interesting that you say that. It's like I do always sort of somehow manage. I always wonder, I always feel like the universe has been very kind to me. I've always feel like, whenever I think that I'm fucked, something comes along to make it work. So far, no baby, but I always think that I'm due for the opposite end of that at some point. I'm always very cautious of
that's Catholic school.
When is this fucking coming?
That's kind of how I felt.
Guilt Catholic school, and that's that's one of the things that I always fight that my dad really believed, which is the superstition of good things, bad things happening. Yeah. And a lot of that, I think, I don't think it's a coincidence that we all went to Catholic school.
Right.
And it's just that, you think you deserve this good thing? Get the fuck down and
you
stay down.
Certainly do not.
Yeah. Because that's exactly what was running through my mind. I was like, what a year. Wait, what? I thought this is what happens. It's hard not to have that in your head.
Yeah. But it is. It is a false connection. Good things and bad things do happen, but I think because we just don't have a real guideline to connect the dots in the universe, we connect them in a way that makes sense to us.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, and that is where superstition comes from. That is all superstition. Superstition is basically just connecting dots in the universe for science we don't have yet.
Things don't happen for a reason. Things happen, then we give them reason.
Exactly right. The reasons are retroactively bolted on. Because we have to make sense of it and we have to process it, because it can be too difficult to say, like, well, that just happened.
Yeah,
you know,
life is chaos.
Yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't, why would you get up in the morning if you just felt like, well, everything is chaos and nothing makes any, nothing has any structure.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, what I would say is I'd like to believe that's not true, and I like to believe the universe is fairly indifferent as to whether or not you fail or succeed.
Yeah.
So you might as well try to enjoy your life if you can.
I mean, it's an incredible time. I have after Trek. I have the talk show on Alpha.
I'm so proud of both of you, because you are literally doing. And I think if you were to ask yourselves, you know, like 15, 16-year-old yous,
mm-hmm.
not in the New York sense.
Yep.
Hey, look, here is an outline of your life in 2017. You converted to Judaism for a time to become a TV writer. Now, married to a Jewish lady, and you are a TV writer.
Yes. Yeah.
And you are doing a Star Trek-centric thing. You're doing a James Bond-centric thing, which is very successful. Yeah. A bunch of, you know, you're both in proximity to the things that inspired you the most when you were growing up.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is an incredible.
I think about that off. I think about Jonah doing Mystery Science Theater, and I think about me doing Star Trek, and I just think that's fucking crazy.
It is real. It is really, really nuts. It's
But it also, I think if anyone has followed this podcast from the beginning, it should be a roadmap that this is possible. It's possible. Because
mm-hmm.
we were all just dudes
who
just kind of had things that we were interested in. And, you know, none of us had any special leg up on anything. It just,
and certainly no special abilities.
Yes.
As the internet is oft to point out,
they do love to poke holes, but and that is the internet's special ability.
Yeah.
But you know, it should be a nice encouragement for anyone. You know, I always love when we get emails from people for like the corkboard. They go, "Oh, you always say to do a thing, and I started a thing, and then this happened, and my life got changed."
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So it really does boil down to.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say I'm thankful for is like the podcast I do with Dory is really, you know, it's amazing the people we're reaching on that like are also going through IVF. We had a listener write to us because Dory and I had talked about her getting her hysteroscopy and how they had found scarring in her uterus and stuff that they had not seen in any previous ultrasounds or anything like that. And someone had written in about their hysteroscopy and how that showed a bunch of stuff that, like, they, you know, it saved a cycle, essentially, a wasted cycle. If you're doing a IVF cycle in a shitty road instead of a nicely paved one, that embryo's not going to stick. So a listener had written in and, you know, they were having some pains, and she knew from the podcast to ask for a hysteroscopy, and they found stage 1 ovarian cancer.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. So they were
able to find it very early. Now, this is still early on in her process, but she wrote in and said, "I would not have known to ask for a hysteroscopy had I not been listening to the podcast."
That's amazing.
So it's like it's the moments like that where I'm just like very gracious and delighted to have the community that we have for people going through IVF and that we're sharing. And it's always funny, we always say we put out the sperm signal, which is our we imagine it's and you know, people are always asking these questions. They, you know, it's a very listener driven show where people are writing into us, and you know, there's always, you know, someone always presents a scenario where you're like, that seems insane. And we always inevitably put it out to the listeners, and there's always 2, 3, 4, or 5 people who've experienced that exact thing and can offer the advice to the person that has asked the question.
So it's basically a community. It's a forum.
It's amazing. Yeah. And it's and I'm very thankful for all the eggheads out there.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really, really cool.
You know, when you finally do have a kid,
yeah,
when that kid gets old enough to go, I don't gotta listen to what you say, you're gonna be like, do you have any fucking idea?
I always think what about we went that. Through. I always think about the fact that, like, I can't imagine if I had hours upon hours. We've done 60 some odd episodes of this show, and I can't imagine having hours and hours of my parents, like, going through anything, let alone trying to conceive me, and just like their ups and downs. And like, Dory and I get really real on that show, and it's just like, I just wonder what that, how that kid, knock on wood, we get one, how that kid will respond. This is the only room that I could knock on literally anything. It's fucking wood.
Yeah, there's wood.
How that kid will respond to like hearing that.
Yeah. We should, when you do have a kid, you should name it Debt.
I'm out right now. We'll see. See if that lasts.
It'll be interesting to also to see if you, because I'm sure when it finally happens, you will feel a great sense of relief. But I would also,
and that it owes me something.
Well, I'm not even joking. Like, I would make sure. Are you in therapy?
Yeah.
Good. Because I think a small part of you might also resent a little bit everything that you went through to make that kid. There might be a little bit.
Always think about that. I also always give it advice while on the podcast. Occasionally, I'll be like, now, you're probably listening to this, and I just want to say, you cost us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you don't play left-handed guitar, we're really fucked. Like, I tell it. I give advice to my future child on the podcast, funny. So hopefully they eventually listen.
Well, if they're right-handed, then you can just leave them all the guitars to sell, and that's basically their be their nest egg.
Yeah.
Because all those fucking guitars are...
Too many.
Too many guitars. What good stuff for you, Jonah Ray?
Much like Matt, thankful for my wife. She was Deanna was solid gold during the process of flying to Hawaii with me and being there and she helped me, you know, like the Monday after he died, like, you know, we went to the funeral home and did all the forms, and she was there because I was like a little spaced out the whole time, and so she was there to like, you know, really. Really do it. She's like been, you know, solid, just completely. And like, I'm just, you know, really stoked to be her husband and really, you know, proud of her and thankful that she's like, you know, I can't imagine it being too easy. Just like, you know, just because like the mood swings, it's like, you know, it's like I'll just like shut down sometimes and just like not want to do anything or not like, you know, not feel like even just interacting with her. But she's like keeps it positive and, you know, and that can't be easy at all to just like, you know. Oh, okay. Now you're okay. You're this way. All right. Well, sweet. You know. Well, what do you want for dinner? When, you know, I'll make the decision. You know, stuff like that. She's good at that. So that was like that was the shining beacon. I'm thinking for my mom getting to know my mom better, but like seeing her like emerge as a fuller person. My dad, you know, he didn't you know, demand the attention, but he really wanted the attention.
He absorbed a lot of attention.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, she seeing her like, you know. Like making decisions and doing what she wants to do, and
you're also like both getting to know adult your mother, together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really crazy to get to know your parents as an adult, but to know them as people, you were just people who got knocked up and had all this other responsibility. You know, it's like that is a real strange point in a person's life to just go, oh, you're just a person.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like, I think that was like a thing that bugged me about my dad is that like, it's like he wanted to be dad and he wanted to be like infallible and like, he didn't want to seem it's like my mom was saying, it's like, he'd like, you guys would show up or you'd call and like, he'd be like, he'd put on a whole like happy face thing and like, everything's great. What are you talking about? Like, you know, it's like, where he would never really be that honest.
Sure.
You know, and I think that was like a weird thing to kind of like, I always kind of had a feeling that, you know, he was a little like, but you know, either way, the thankful stuff, like, you know, my mom for sure, like getting to know her again, you know, I helped her get a car yesterday,
awesome.
It's like, you know, and then she's, you know, very thankful for that. And that's been really cool. And, you know, I am thankful for like, you know, my dad, like, you know, like the idea that like, you know, it's a, he, knowing now, it's like, he didn't really like the idea that I was pursuing, you know, entertainment. Like he like hated the fact that I didn't go to school or college or anything like that. Like he was, you know, but like, he didn't show it, you know, to a point where it made me want to stop or, you know,
Right.
So it's like, you know, for better or worse, what he did, you know, like, you know, put me in a place where he was like my number one fan. And so, like, you know, he was like, when the good stuff happened, he was always very good. And of course he had those dad moments of, like, you know, when I'm talking about working on MST, he's like, well, maybe that hopefully that'll work out for you, you know, right, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's, you know, he just wanted, you know, he wanted me to be safe. He wanted me to, like, you know, like, not, he didn't want to happen to me what happened to him, which is, like, he, you know, put his eggs in the basket of his dad's company, and then it, like, when the company crumbled, he had nothing.
Right.
So it's like he was worried about that, and but, like, he didn't show it as much as, like, he felt it, which right, is, like, you know, huge. When you're, like, when any of us started doing the stuff we're doing now, it's, you know, there's so much inside of you telling you to stop because of how ridiculous the idea is. Like, the one in a million shot of being able to become successful in entertainment. It's like there's nothing, there's just constant, you know, doubt inside you. And so when someone's, like, you know, like, doubtful towards, you know, you doing it too, it's more crushing, you know. Yeah. It's like when they go, are you sure? It's like they may be just saying it and not even thinking about it, but it's like, it's,
fuck, I hate that question.
Yeah, exactly. The floor just drops out below.
I get angry when people ask me that question, like, irrationally angry when people, when you say something, they go, oh, are you sure you want to, like, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm not, I really do think about things.
Yeah.
I don't just whimsically throw shit at, you know, like, oh, you know, I don't think, you know, I think, oh, what do you want for dinner? I think I'm going to get a salad. Are you sure? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, it just, because it basically, it's the other person saying, like, to me, and I know it's just someone trying to take extra care of you.
Yes.
But I read it as, they don't trust that you have the capability to make a decision.
Yeah.
And so that question drives me off a fucking wall.
Yeah, it's real. It's not. It's
yes,
not
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm positive.
Yeah. Yes, please, please. Let's move on before I change my mind.
Are you really sure? Yes, I am really sure.
And then, you know, I'm also thankful for, like, all the Misties were, like, you know, it was the, when the show came out, it's like there was negative stuff, of course. Of course,
they didn't really see that.
Well, it's like, you know, there was a little bit in it, but, like, the overwhelming positive nature of it was, like, mind blowing to me. It is funny because I think, I can't remember, it was like birthmoviesdeath.com or something like that said, like, when they announced the second season, they're like, although, like, met with mixed reviews, and then, like, all the comments were, on the article were like, what are you talking about mixed reviews? It was almost ultimately positive. It's like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, you know? I know. Like, I just, like, everyone's always got to make it, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to throw a little negativity in there. I mean, it just...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, like, it's like to be embraced by a community that, you know, I was very much, like, a part of and still am, but, like, it's like, you know, like, all the Misties online, the way they interact, it was just, and all the ones I met on the tour, it was like, you know, it made that really hard tour, like, really worth it. And, you know, it's and it was really cool. Like, you know, it was cool for my mom and dad to see that, to see pictures. They were, like, looking up the hashtag on Instagram and seeing pictures of people with me. Like, you know, they got to, you know, it's like my friend Donald, who, you know, I've known since I was 5 years old. He, like, you know, he had a hard time with my dad's death, like, real, you know, real hard time too, because his parents are in their 80s, and he's like, how did your dad die before, you know, my parents? And so he was having a hard time, but then he kind of, like, he said, here, this is what's been making me feel better, is that he's like, if there was any, there's never a good time to die. It's never like, you know, it's never, you know, it's never like, ooh, nailed it, you know, there's never that. It's
dismount.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I've always thought about it too. Everyone's like, the untimely death, it's like, oh, what it was, it like maybe a week later would have been a timely death.
Yeah, boy, if you could have just waited till Friday.
Yeah, exactly, then swish. But like he said, like there's never a good time to die, but like if your dad was to go, because he would have eventually, everyone does, if you, it's like what a year to go out on. Like, it's like he got to see, you know, his son, like, who, you know, through his passion, you know, like, buy a house, get on the show that he was obsessed with as a kid, be married, like, be happy, like, you know, get the fans that, you know, he's always wanted. And then, like, you know, for his other son, he got to, like, you know, he got to see him get married, got to see, like, a grandchild, you know, because Adam's kid got a kid, you know. So it's like, so if there was a year for him to go out on, like, he's like, that's like a banner year for any parent, I think.
Yeah.
And so that made me feel really good. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there isn't really a good time.
Yeah.
There's never really a good time. But, you know, when I think about how if my dad had lived a lot longer, I worry because both my grandparents had dementia.
well into the, you know, my grandfather in his 80s and my grandmother in her 90s.
My grandmother's got it right now.
And I don't think, I know he wouldn't have wanted to have gotten to that point, and it, you know, it would have been, it, so it's not, I'm not happy that he died. I'm happy that he never had to,
yeah,
that he just, you know, of ways to go, getting hit with a heart attack or a stroke or like just in one quick, like flicking off a switch.
We talked about
is
that,
a fucking gift.
Yeah.
Because Lydia's dad had cancer for 8 years and they had to watch it happen. And I, you know, and our whole first date was about how our dads died within a month of each other.
Oh, shit, really?
And
sexy.
And I always say that, you know, wow, we do fundamentally understand, like we connect on that one level. But I said, I have no sense of what that must have been like.
Talking to other friends, I mean, we talked about that too, like about the lights out thing, which is like, you know, like it's anytime you talk to someone that they're dead at a cancer or anyone died of cancer, it's like, it seems harder, you know, like,
of course,
it's like, you know, we're just left with the, you know, the aftermath. But like to feel that dread, that creeping dread for so long, has got to be really fucking gnarly.
Real depressing hostile podcast, you guys. Way to end the year.
Yeah.
I had to pull the car over. Not happy.
Yeah. It wasn't as depressing as it could have been. We could have talked about current events.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. What the fuck is going on in the world? Everyone's a goddamn monster. But I am excited that, you know, I just hope people understand that as many horrible things that are going on in the news, that light, that is not the full scope of life, that there are good things and there are happy things. And sometimes you got to look for them and sometimes you have to work for them. But if you don't, you will fucking go nuts, or you'll just create that depression on your couch or your bed, which is oddly metaphorical.
The depression, you know?
The depression.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of really great things. I'm also incredibly thankful for Lydia and just how just incredible. It just seems crazy to me that someone could be that cool and patient and tolerant, you know, and when she. And sometimes I just don't believe it.
Abused puppy, my friend.
I've tried to write a bit about it. Yeah, but I abuse myself the most. I try to write a bit about it, but I think it's just not that funny. But, you know, like she'll just, we'll wake up and she'll go, oh, I love you so much. And I'm like, you don't sound well. Should we get you to a doctor? Like, because it's so hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe it. But, I mean, just could not be more thankful for her. And there's a lot of fun, you know, there's a lot of fun work stuff going on for next year. We're going to do the festival again.
Yes.
But we're going to do it. We're going to move it to the Orange County Fairgrounds.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
The shoreline was great. And we're not trying to exclude anyone in Northern California, but the shoreline is, there's a couple of reasons. The shoreline is also incredibly expensive venue, which is great. I mean, it's great, and it did, you know, our festival did great, but it just, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And also the dates, we wanted to do around the same date range, and they weren't available. So it's like, well, then do we move it later in the year? And then the more I thought about it, the more it seemed like, oh, well, if we're having comedians there and like TV and film panels, wouldn't it be better to have it closer to Los Angeles?
Yeah, so exactly. Less travel costs
too. Yeah, and the shoreline, I mean the Orange County Fairgrounds is a fucking great venue. There's like all these pavilions.
Yeah.
And I may have told you this, but I sold the sitcom to NBC.
Yeah. You did tell us this, but we're still going to clap on the podcast and pretend we haven't heard about it.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was about six, seven weeks ago. Our manager, Alex Murray, said, hey, you should pitch a sitcom this year. It's almost time. It's almost like the end of the pitching season. I was like, okay. And so I reached out to David X. Cohen, who's the showrunner for Futurama, writer of The Simpsons, because we've become friends since we did the Nerdist Futurama collaboration. And I was like, hey, do you want to pitch a sitcom? And he's like, well, I'm working on a thing with Matt right now, but I'm going to be done at the end of the year. And I go, well, let's just try it. And he said, okay. So, you know, we came up with an idea, got a little Google Doc going, put it together. Pitched it, sold it. So now we're going to be in the way it works is you know, you turn in an outline of the pilot, then they approve that, then you write a script, and if they approve that, then you shoot a pilot, then they approve that. So yeah. There's a lot of runway. A
lot of runway, but that's a huge thing.
But it's very exciting, and writing with David, you know, especially because we'll kick character stuff back and forth, and I'll go, yeah, that's kind of like a Bender thing. I'm like, oh my God, you're the... And it just sort of like, you know.
That's cool.
It just sort of like tweaks my brain a little bit.
Maybe it'll time up to where when Matt leaves the Goldbergs, he just moves on to your show.
Interesting.
Producer level by then.
Sounds
great.
Interesting.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. I'll take a... Yeah. That's
I don't make the rules.
Big, well, Jonah, at least you're here to enforce them.
Yeah. Yes. If that's...
just enforce them. Yeah. And then just a public service announcement for people. Just a little public service. I'm not a great sleeper. No problem falling asleep. Can't stay asleep. My wife bought these canisters of this stuff called Calm, which is a powder that you put in water.
Enunciate it just a bit more.
Calm. Calm.
Yeah. So you open this bottle, you just spray it all over your face.
You know, so, we had, before you get to Calm,
yeah,
that reminded me of the way you pronounced that. We had last week where I was on set all week, and we had Clancy Brown.
Oh, he's great.
Fucking at playing the shop teacher, doing a bunch of like double entendre stuff, and he's up there with the butt joint, trying to seal his butt joint with caulk.
Uh-huh.
And the fucking...
Caulk block?
The way that this man acts, it is so beautifully... serious. It's one of the funniest things I've seen.
Clancy Brown is fucking phenomenal.
I don't know that cock is going to get into the ABC cut, but it's there, and it was just joyful. But Calm.
And just, again, Clancy Brown, literally, he's in The Punisher, you know, he was in The Flash, he's been in so many things, and every time you watch him, he's fucking great at whatever it is that he's doing, whatever animated voice he's doing, whatever, you know, he was on SpongeBob, like, what, no matter what he's doing, Clancy Brown deserves a fucking Emmy Lifetime Achievement.
He has a lengthy monologue in the principal's office with Tobolowsky about the fact that he respects Woody's the shop teacher because he spent 3 years in a bamboo cage. It's
all right, so Calm. It's magnesium. Which is supposed to relax you naturally. So I was taking this, started to sleep great. Thanksgiving was also my birthday. Lydia made her first, what she calls it, her first unsupervised Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. And it was fucking incredible. And
did we miss your birthday?
Yeah, it was November 23rd.
It was Thanksgiving.
But it's easy to get obscured by Thanksgiving. I don't care. It's fine. I didn't even do anything this year. We had Thanksgiving dinner and a bunch of people came over.
I feel like usually I'm on top of that.
No, it's totally fine.
At least a text.
Totally fine.
Sorry.
So I haven't been eating. I gave up chives. I haven't been eating any sugar because my cholesterol is weirdly really high. And so I gave up most, you know, I'm not on a paleo diet, but I'm not eating like excessive sugar. Mm-hmm. So I haven't eaten dessert, so it was like red velvet cake in the shape of a turkey that was really phenomenal. Wow. Shout out to Delicious Arts. Donuts from Blue Star Donuts, like tea cakes, all these foods. The next morning, I had the kind of diarrhea that I was convinced that at the end, Augustus Gloop was going to fall out.
The red velvet will do it, my friend.
Yes. And I was like, I can't believe this. I can't eat desserts ever again because I just hadn't eaten it for so long. So it got better, came back, persisted to the point where I'm like, something is wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm having a severe, I think I need to go get a colonoscopy. I think something is wrong. You know, there's a lot of softness going on. Not without going into too much detail. So a couple days ago, I have to take a red eye to New York to do an event for NBC. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Just the waterworks are on, guys.
Oh boy.
And I just have this weird thought. I'm like, I don't know what else is going on in my life. I don't do anything that should warrant this or high cholesterol.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that I get worked up. So
I don't follow.
take it down, Clovey. So on a whim, because I can't sleep, because it's now 5:15 in the morning, I go, I wonder if this Calm stuff has anything to do. So I look it up. Magnesium, a natural laxative.
Oh.
The very thing, ironically, that has kept me calm and sleeping for the past couple of weeks is the very thing that has turned my body into a Vesuvian shitmare. So I'm just giving people a little heads up that if, you know, if you're doing a band on the runs,
yeah,
if you are also taking magnesium anywhere in your diet, that the slightly too much magnesium can do that to your body.
Wow. You know, if you were worried about not having a worse story than my dad dying, worry no longer. You win, Hardwick.
I don't win with that. No one wins with that story. No, literally no one wins with that story.
Yeah.
But I just wanted people to be aware because it's, you know, like I really thought something, as I often do, I thought something was horribly wrong with me, and it was just the fucking, and I stopped taking it, and within 2 days, fine.
That's funny.
Still back, got the ringing in the ear, but yeah, that's getting
back
better.
Back to your rabbit pellets.
Yeah.
I imagine you poop like a rabbit.
There was a Portlandia sketch where there was like, I think something, like they call like a doctor.
Oh, the
there's
beets?
Something really wrong with me. I don't know. It looks really bad. Like, was it beets? I'm sorry? Did you have any beets? Oh, yes, I did. Yes, you're right. And then, like, it pulls out, they're next to a toilet, like, looking in the toilet bowl.
Oh, I love that show. Yeah. I miss that show.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Well, I love you both. I hope everyone is not too upset by any of the things that were mentioned or we talked about. We love you. We thank you for singing with you going into year 8 next year.
Wow. Yeah, coming up
the podcast.
On year 8.
Fucking nuts. And hope to see you guys more. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for not just the things you're achieving, but for the people that you have become and grown into. And I'm proud of and thankful that all of our wives put up with our dumb fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
it's really
day
remarkable.
In, day out, week after week.
Yeah, thanks for Katie too for putting up with our.
And Katie Levine is a fucking superstar who deserves also an Emmy. I don't know how that really fits into rules.
Yeah.
People do say, like, when are you going to have Katie on the podcast? I have offered. She has declined. She just doesn't seem to want to be on the podcast. But you know, at some point, you should fully sit in on a Hostful podcast. Will you do that?
Okay.
Finally? In the very beginning, you didn't even like doing the intros.
No. It took me a while to get
you. But now it's old. Now
she's a pro.
Now it's old hat. How was your year, Katie?
She knows she's not on mic because she's listening to us. And she's probably...
It was all right.
Oh, there we go.
It was fine.
Just all right?
Yeah. Nothing too exciting.
But any sports things happen that you're excited about?
No, all my teams suck. Yep. Like, hardcore.
Excited about that.
You got Jimmy Garoppolo now.
Yeah, and we won on 5 field goals
you're
today.
You're welcome.
You're upset about that Pontiac Dome that won't go down?
They keep trying to blow it up, and it's just a standing
stuff. Yeah. And someone said, like, guess we built it too well.
You know, there's a great YouTube account, Bright Sun Films. He does an abandoned of the Pontiac Silver Dome that's really a treat to watch. A lot of YouTube recommendations.
What are you
Katie's
looking
time.
For? Yeah, well, you're on fucking planes all the time, and you don't sleep a lot of the time. So.
JetBlue, by the way, best Wi-Fi I've ever had on a plane.
Really?
It's fucking amazing. Gate to gate. And you can stream full quality Amazon Prime the whole time.
Wow.
Holy shit. Good to know. Yeah. So, Katie, 2018, what are you excited about?
I don't know. Shit.
Great. All right. Perfect.
I have nothing to say. I was not prepared to talk, like, whatsoever.
Okay. Shit. I recommend magnesium.
Yes. Magnesium will help fulfill all.
As soon
of
as
your
you
poop
said
dreams.
That, I was like, oh, that's just like, as soon as I started taking magnesium, I was like, oh, that's just going to make you poop.
I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me that, even though you didn't know I was taking it? And I was really, because the back of the container says, start with a teaspoon, work your way up to 2 teaspoons. So I was just like really shoveling it in there, thinking, I'm going to sleep great. And my brain was relaxed, but it made my body
just
anxious.
Take some ZQL, you'll be fine.
I can't take that.
Why not?
Because it has alcohol in it.
Get a weighted blanket.
That's even the pills of ZQL?
I think that's part of the, isn't that, or no, it has diphenhydramine. I think it's diphenhydramine. I can't take that stuff because I don't take anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny, interesting, because when the doctor, when I went to see my ear, nose, and throat guy because of the ear ringing, and I was like, it's really freaking me out. He gave me Xanax, and I didn't take it. I got the prescription filled because weirdly I was like, well, I don't intend to take it, but just knowing that I had it made me feel better.
Yeah.
And I'm not a, I was never a pill guy. So if I had to take it, I don't feel like it would violate my sobriety or anything, but I just was like, well, I'll see if I can not take it. And I never did, but I just can't, if I, I can't take any kind of medication like that because it, I'm so sensitive. I would feel it in my system for days, mm-hmm. for days.
Well, over Christmas break, I'd like you to try some.
You know, when I first got sober, I was taking Tylenol PM to sleep, mm-hmm. and then I stopped taking it for a while, and I took it again a couple of months later, and it felt like a hangover, and it was so unpleasant to me that I couldn't.
Gotcha.
It was the sense memory of it was too much, and I couldn't take it. So I can't. I don't take anything.
Yeah.
I take melatonin, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I thought this calm stuff was the old
the way to do it.
But anyway, we hope you enjoy your burrito. I know it feels like dark times out there, but there are light times too. So I love you all. And yeah.
Well, proud of you too, Chris.
Get out.
Yeah, no, you're a lot more this is going to sound like a retroactive insult, but but like you know, it's like you have a more positive, like a true positive calm demeanor to you. Like the past like a couple years, and it's
I think that's all Lydia. I don't think I could take credit for that.
Very possible, but like it's like it is
more of a human being.
Yeah, yeah. It's like even like you know Deanna. She's like she's like you know the times that you run into her, just like she's like Chris seems like so much better. He seems like he's in a really good place. So
yeah, I'm excited for my life, not just because of all the fun work stuff, but first and foremost because of my partner. You know, yep. Like I. Just, I can't imagine. I don't know. Yeah. It's when I look back and I just sort of think now, like, she's just such a great, wonderful person and such a great stabilizing force. I really don't know what she gets out of me, but I do adore her and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, that's been pretty, pretty amazing too.
Yeah,
so,
it shows. It's definitely had a positive effect on you.
Well, all right, everyone. Have a great end of your year. And yeah, we'll see you. See you.
You'll hear us later. Hear us later.
Hear us later.
Hear us later, AC Slater.
Listen now. Listen later.
Listen later.
Now and later.
Now and later.
Hear some now.
Talk
say some
at you later.
Later.
Laffy Taffy, baby giraffe.
Zip. Zab. Zab.
Abba Zabba.
Yabba Zabba.
Zubba
Zabba. Yabba Zabba. Zabba
Zabba. Zabba
Zabba. Zabba Zabba. Do it. Just do it.
Jurassic Park.
Misa 2.
Where is my croissant? Enjoy your burrito. Enjoy your ham cheese croissant.
If they have it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.